Good Friday morning. I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to your Politico Playbook audio briefing sponsored by Goldman Sachs' 10,000 Small Businesses. Here's the status of your government. It's open. The status among your elected officials is somewhat mixed. Some, there's confusion and frustration. But for many, they're actually quite happy with the outcome. The final vote tally in the House was 240 to 186. The two-year, $300 billion budget passed the House and the Senate and is now headed to the White House. The government is funded until March 23rd, and the debt ceiling is lifted until 2019. Ryan says the House will now move to work on a DACA solution. Here's the breakdown. 67 House Republicans voted against the bill. This might seem like a lot, but this was a very pricey budget. And we're shocked. More than 150 Republicans voted for it. It was a very late night or early morning in the U.S. Capitol, where Republican Washington plunged into its second government shutdown of Donald Trump's presidency. This time, it was Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky who dragged out a filibuster into the wee hours of the morning because of what he termed as excessive spending. The main difference between the House and the Senate is the Senate vote was never truly in doubt. The House, meanwhile, gaveled into session at 3:21 a.m. with senior aides and many members of Republican and Democratic leadership unsure whether they would be able to pass the two-year budget deal. Pelosi entered the House floor shortly after 3:40 in the morning and began to speak. She did not go on for 8 hours as she did earlier this week, but she did speak for less than 10 minutes and urged Speaker Paul Ryan to allow a vote on all immigration bills. Let's be clear. There is not going to be a vote on any immigration bills right now. During Pelosi's talk, there was a low murmur among members, leading a few Democrats to stand up to declare that the House was not in order. After her floor speech, Pelosi and Steny Hoyer huddled at the Democratic whip table. She was toting a few pieces of paper while she spoke to her colleagues. At 4:39 a.m., Joe Crowley, who many consider to be the leader in waiting, went to talk to House Majority Whip Steve Scalise. It was a quick chat. Now let's go back a minute. Before the shutdown, let's review. In the last 24 hours, Nancy Pelosi said Thursday morning she liked the budget bill, she negotiated it, fought for her priorities in it, and would not gin up her colleagues against it, but would merely tell everyone why she was going to vote no. Then, shortly after, Steny Hoyer decided to rally his colleagues, who also happened to be Pelosi's colleagues, against the budget bill. Not to be outdone, if you're still following me here, Pelosi then decided to begin to whip against the budget bill. Our colleague Burgess Everett put it succinctly. Rand Paul took a stand, consequences be damned. And Senate Republicans are livid about it. Burgess writes that the Kentucky Republican was receiving criticism from his colleagues who argue he is misusing the Senate's time for no reason other than to draw attention to himself. Or as Rachel Bade and Sungmin Kim write, this is the dumbest shutdown ever. For Paul, it was about the national debt, while for Pelosi, she's railing against a deal she helped write. The drama surrounding Rob Porter continues. Eliana Johnson writes that Trump Chief of Staff John Kelly knew of abuse reports and that Porter would be denied security clearance. Kelly had told Confidence in recent weeks that anyone who had been denied a clearance would be fired, but he had yet to act on that plan. While the New York Times reports that Joe Hagan, Deputy Chief of Staff for Operations, and White House Counsel Don McGahn had known about these issues since late fall. The Post has some broader implications, looking at the fact that dozens of White House aides lack permanent security clearances, including Jared Kushner. Meanwhile, CNN is reporting that Porter's friend, Brian Cunningham, worked to quell background issues, and the New York Times reports on the inevitable, the unwelcome attention for John Kelly. He was supposed to bring calm, but many have contacted Trump recently to express their dissatisfaction with him. Kelly wrote a memo last night to White House staff reiterating that he takes matters of domestic violence seriously. Daniel and Maggie Severance scoop that Ed Crane, former Cato president and longtime libertarian leader, is facing allegations of inappropriate sexual comments and sexual harassment to staffers. Meanwhile, on Russia, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the Senate Intel Committee is writing a report expected to be released in the coming weeks on election vulnerabilities ahead of the midterms. And Kyle Cheney reports that FBI surveillance of Carter Page might have picked up a conversation he had with Steve Bannon. And a big congrats to the Pod Save America hosts who are now coming to HBO and plan to have their hosts do their specials on the campaign trail in the run-up to the 2018 midterm elections. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.